Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. We want to say good day to you, and it's good to be here, and we appreciate the opportunity. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we appreciate you listening in today. We want to take just a moment and let you know about the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love for you, if you are in the listening area, to come by and visit with us. If you're looking for a church home, or maybe you're passing through, visiting in the high country, we have several visitors throughout the year that do that very thing. And they're vacationing, and so they'll come and worship with us on Sunday or Wednesday night. But we have Sunday morning services, Sunday school at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, at 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we're currently studying through the book of Mark. And then every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. And coming up in December, here in just a couple of weeks, well, I don't want to say a couple, meaning two, I'd have to look at a calendar, a few weeks, we're going to say we're going to have, well, on the second Sunday night in December, that'd be the best way to say it, we're having our Christmas play, and that'll be at 6 p.m. We'd love for you to come by. Well, anyway, it's good to be here. Good to have Noah. He's been working the past couple of weeks, and we've missed having him. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back, and we do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we've been in a series now for quite some time. Well, we actually started back in the month of August, a series, What I Can Do for My Country. And we've just been going down a list of things that we can do. I've been giving a little review every week. We said, first of all, that we could pray. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. First of all, prayers, supplications, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But it's interesting that the Bible says, first of all. So what can we do for our country? First of all, pray. And second of all, we said the gospel, getting the gospel out. The gospel changes hearts, changes lives, changes minds, changes communities, changes counties. I mean, the gospel is powerful. That's what the Bible says. We talked about the influence of churches and local churches in the community, salt and light, and what a difference that churches have made down through the history of time. Then we spent a few weeks in Romans chapter number 13. Verse number 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And last week we got down through verse number 8. We were talking about the model citizen and the duties and responsibilities that we have as citizens and what the Bible has to say about that. Now today, and this couldn't come about at a better time, but we're going to talk about what can we do, what can I do for my country. I want to say this, we can remember our past, we can remember our history, our heritage, where we come from, how we got here. These things are very important to a nation. Once upon a time in America, there was a great emphasis placed upon learning our history, our unique history as a country. There was emphasis placed, if you can get a hold of an old history book, you will see that they took special pains to talk about the founding of our nation, to talk about the uniqueness of the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution and our system of government with checks and balances, and how it is a republic and how it is a representative type of government. But it's very important that we remember our history. If we don't remember our history, then we don't see that there's anything different between us and any other country. And we're not going to appreciate, we're not going to realize where we were, how we got here. Just by way of example, in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, Joshua is now leading the children of Israel. Moses has died. Joshua takes his place. God is about to bring them into the promised land. They're about to cross over Jordan. And God gives the children of Israel special instructions. He gets Joshua to choose out 12 men. And these 12 men, as they pass through the River Jordan, which God has miraculously divided for them so that they can cross over, Joshua chose 12 men. These 12 men were to carry out 12 stones from out of the midst of Jordan and set them up on the other side as a memorial. And it said in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 21, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? They were to take 12 stones and set them up in such a manner that in the generations to come, when the children of Israel, when their children and grandchildren would pass by this place and they would see that memorial set up, and they would ask themselves, they would ask their fathers the question, what does this mean? Why are these stones here? It's obvious that they've been placed here. This is just not a natural formation. What mean these stones? And so those stones were to be a history lesson. And if you read on down in Joshua chapter number 4, God said, so that when your children come, they'll say, what mean these stones? And you can remind them all the things the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, has done for you. How that he parted the Red Sea and how that he parted the Jordan and you came over on dry land and how God delivered you from the inhabitants, and on and on and on it goes. Those 12 stones were to be a history lesson, reminding them of all the Lord had done for them in the past. Now, we're going to talk about what we can do for our country, and this week is Thanksgiving week, and people are getting ready for Thanksgiving. Here it is Tuesday, 2 days will be Thanksgiving, and even when people are listening in on Saturday, they'll still be thinking about Thanksgiving just a little bit. So we'll say it's Thanksgiving week. Now, other countries may celebrate a day of giving thanks of some sort. They may have a time of Thanksgiving. I'm not sure about that. I'm sure that there are countries that have a time like that. But Thanksgiving, as we know it, is an American holiday. It is unique to the history of America. It is unique to our country. I mean, it is not going to be Thanksgiving in Canada. It's not going to be Thanksgiving in England or Mexico or China. It's unique to our country. And so I wonder how many people wonder why. Why do we have Thanksgiving? What does it mean when we come to have Thanksgiving? Where did it come from? Thanksgiving is something that sounds religious to me. I mean, if I just showed up in America and I knew nothing about our culture, I knew nothing about our history, I knew nothing about, anything. And somebody said, well, we're getting ready to have Thanksgiving. Wouldn't you ask, well, what is that? Why? Where did that come from? It sounds biblical to me. It sounds religious to me, some people may say. We trace Thanksgiving all the way back. It's 400 some years old now, Thanksgiving in America. We trace it all the way back to the Pilgrims. Well, there's another Bible sounding words. You know, the Bible talks about we are strangers and pilgrims. We're passing through this world. And the people we trace Thanksgiving back to goes back to the Pilgrims in this country. I have a book at home. and of all the books that I have, it's one that I would count as a keeper. Some books I have I've never read. This book is a keeper. This book is worth something to me, and it's a valuable book, not monetarily speaking, but just for the content of the book. And it is the book called Of Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford. He was the first governor over the Plymouth Plantation, and it is the history of the Plymouth settlement from 1608 to 1650. And so it's a very old writing. Now, the book I have is not that old. It's a reprint, of course, but the content of the book is worth the whole thing, what it's talking about. And it gives the history of the pilgrims starting in England. And then, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, from England, they fled England. They were being persecuted. They went to Holland. They tried for several years to make a go of it in Holland. And it didn't work out in Holland. And so they came to America. And it's the history from England to Holland to America. But chapter number one, it says, Suppression of Religious Liberty in England, First Cause of the Foundation of the New Plymouth Settlement. Why did they leave England to begin with? Suppression of Religious Liberty. They could not worship God freely. They were being persecuted. They could not worship God according to their own conscience. The pilgrims, now there's a difference between the pilgrims and the Puritans. The Puritans persecuted the pilgrims. The pilgrims wouldn't fit in their religious mold. And so they were outside of the mainstream, and they were being persecuted by the Puritans. So they fled England. They were not satisfied in Holland. They went from Holland back through England and then ended up coming to America. But this is interesting to me. Chapter number four, it says, Reasons which led the congregation at Leyden to decide upon settlement in America. And so they had a few options, even from Holland. They had thought about going to what we know today as the Caribbean Islands. There were a lot of settlers moved in that direction, but they decided to come to America. Now, it's interesting, they refer to themselves the congregation at Leyden. And I've said this, I've touched upon this before when we talked about how important the importance of the local church in the community. And the pilgrims operated as a local church. Everything they did, they decided together as believers. And they even referred to themselves as not a religious body. They didn't call themselves pilgrims as far as when they referred to themselves. I mean, they did confess that they were pilgrims and strangers, and it was from a Christian viewpoint that they were just passing through this world. But they referred to themselves as a congregation, as a church body. And so the America's first successful settlement was actually a church. Now, you think about those that came to Virginia and the Lost Colony and all like that. That was not a successful settlement. They didn't make it, but the pilgrims made it. And they made it as a church body. They came as a church body. America's first successful settlement was actually a church. America's first government actually came about by the action of a church. Now, when the pilgrims came to America, they missed Virginia. They actually had a contract to start a colony in Virginia, but they missed Virginia. And they ended up landing way north of Virginia. Of course, they're not going to get on the Amtrak and just come on down the East Coast and start in Virginia. I mean, they landed in the wilderness, and there's no way to get to Virginia, so they got off the boat. Well, in order to do that, their contract to start a colony in Virginia is null and void. And so they came up with their own government to govern themselves, and it is called the Mayflower Compact, and it starts out, In ye name of God, amen. And that is America's first official document. How did that come about? By the action of a church. They said they came together. They said, we're going to have to govern ourselves. We're out here in the wilderness. We're out from under the jurisdiction of Virginia and our contract and all of these things. So they had to come up with a fair way to govern themselves. And so America's first government document came about by the action of a church. America's first wedding took place among the Pilgrims and the action of a church. Once again, America's first peace treaty was the action of a church. When the Pilgrims came, they immediately, I mean, the first day they come into contact with the Indians, and it's a long story. But they finally got someone that could interpret between the Pilgrims and the Indians, and they came up with a compact, an agreement, a treaty together. Well, our church done that, and I was reading over that this morning, and, you know, but it was very simple. If you don't kill us, we won't kill you. And if somebody steals something for us or one of us steals from you, then we're going to catch that fellow and we're going to bring him and you punish him. So they just had a simple agreement among themselves. They said, if somebody attacks you, we'll come and help you. If somebody attacks us, you come and help us. It was a very simple agreement. And a congregation came up with this. A church body came up with this. America's first hospital was that church, that congregation. They got to Plymouth Rock, and they had to build a public building, and immediately a lot of them got sick. They were sick from traveling over here, so the first public building was actually the first hospital. And this church, America's first elected officials, were elected by the congregation, the church, the Pilgrims. And America's first Thanksgiving was held by a church. And so you study about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is over 400 years old now. And I know they had Thanksgiving in England and different places like that. But when they came and they made it through that first winter and the first harvest came, they wanted to give thanks. And they invited their Indian friends and they had a get together. And they gave thanks for God's blessing and for God's provision. Now that first year, things did not go well. In fact, they had a lot of problems. During that first winter of the original 100 that came over on the Mayflower, half of them died. Governor Bradford said about this, and you think about how rough that would be. I mean, we're talking about mothers, we're talking about fathers, we're talking about children. In fact, that first wedding that I referred to, the man's wife died during that first year, and the wife's husband died during that first year, and this is all that's left. And so they had the first wedding that year. A widow and a widower were married together. But over half of them died during that first year. But in that book, Governor Bradford said this. He said, thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled has shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise. And the Pilgrims were very careful to give thanks unto God. They looked to the Lord and said, it's the Lord that's blessed us. It's the Lord that's kept us. It's the Lord that has given us this first harvest. And so they got together and they had an official time of thanksgiving. Governor Bradford declared it. We're going to take a few days off and we're just going to give thanks. And they got together and they ate deer and turkey and quail and duck and all of these things. And they shot their guns. That's if you read the study of it, that's all they had to do. They did play sports. No, I noticed that. They had something called the bar. I guess it'd be sort of like horseshoes. And so it was interesting. Well, I say sports. They played games together. But it's interesting how the Pilgrims celebrated there. But we have Thanksgiving come up. Thanksgiving is a very unique holiday. It's unique to America. What can I do for my country? I can remember how we got here. why we have Thanksgiving, why we have Christmas, why we have 4th of July, why we have Memorial Day, why we have Veterans Day. These things are important. It's not just a time to get together and eat and watch football or sports or watch fireworks or something like this, but they mean something to us. I really believe if we were better students of history, we would be better caretakers of our country, because we would realize that our history is very unique, and that God's hand has his fingerprints are all over our nation's history. Now, I want to read today out of Psalms 100. I want to just give you a few thoughts. There's about 9 or 10 minutes left this morning. And this is a psalm of thanksgiving, or a psalm of praise. And it says in Psalms 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Now, this is not just a psalm for the children of Israel. If you notice, the first verse says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Now, when the Bible talks about all ye lands, and originally this is written to the nation of Israel, but today we look at it, does not all ye lands encompass all the lands? That's talking about all the nations, all the people of the world. And so thanksgiving is something that if we look back in the Bible, we could go back to the children of Israel, but thanksgiving is for everybody. Everybody ought to give thanks. Every nation ought to have a time of thanksgiving. In verse number 5, he said, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And so in verse number 1, we have all lands. That's talking about all nations, all people. But in verse number 5, it's talking about endureth to all generations. It's not just for ancient Israel. It's not just for, if you read in the New Testament, there's several admonitions over there about being thankful. And it's not just for the pilgrims, but it's for all generations. Being thankful acknowledges something. Being thankful acknowledges somebody. If you say thank you, that is to somebody. And we ought to be thankful to the Lord for what he has done for us. I like what it says in verse number 3. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We cannot take credit. I cannot take credit for what has gone on in the past. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Now, I gave a little outline on Sunday morning. I actually preached out of Psalms 100, and I said just a few things about it. And I'll just give you the bare outline, something to think about. But I said that thanksgiving, or being thankful, is first of all an attitude. It is an attitude of our heart. It's an attitude of our mind. It is something, when you're thinking about being thankful over Thanksgiving, think about this. You have to slow down in order to be thankful. You have to pause. You have to meditate. You have to do this on purpose. It is hard to be thankful in a rush. And I think one of the reasons why Thanksgiving sort of gets swept under the rug between Halloween and Christmas is because it's contrary to our nature. You know, everybody's busy. Everybody's got to be here and go here and do this and do shopping and put up decorations and drive to Bristol to see the lights like you've never seen any Christmas lights before, or go down off the mountain or whatever. You know, people are going. And I guess you can do that and get through Christmas, but you cannot do that and be thankful. You can't say, "God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food," and gobble, 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 and everything. You've got to stop in order to be thankful. Thanksgiving, we might could say that it should be thanksgiving, T-H-I-N-K. You need to think about this. If you're really going to be thankful, you've got to think about it. So it is an attitude. It's an attitude of our heart. It's an attitude of our mind. And in Psalms chapter number 100, they were to take time to be thankful, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise. That is something that they stopped, that they set aside some time, and they went to the house of God, and they had time to give thanks and to be thankful unto him. So it's an attitude. It is an action. Thanks is an action word. And I thought about this. I thought about, if you think about being thankful, then you're going to come across gratitude. And gratitude is more than just being thankful. Gratitude is more than saying thank you, appreciate it. Gratitude, if you study about that, it is an emotion. It wants to return for the benefits received. And so I think about it like this. I want to do something for what has been done for me. It's sort of like if mom makes dinner and we say, thanks, mom, I enjoyed that. Let me wash the dishes. That's gratitude. That's showing gratitude. I want to do something in return for what has been done for me. And we see that in verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. God's been good to me. God's blessed me. I want to do something in return. It serves. It sings. Come before his presence with singing. It shows up. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It says something. Verse number 4, be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so thankfulness is an action word. It does something in return for what has been done for us. Thankfulness is an acknowledgement. Verse number 3, he said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Why are we here? Why do we have the blessings that we have? It's not because we went out and got them our own self. It's because the Lord's blessed us. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is an acknowledgement. I know where my blessings come from. I know where my health comes from. I know where my breath comes from. I know where my strength, my mind, the things that I have, the Lord has blessed me with. And so it is an acknowledgement of those things. And then it is something that we can count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Look what the Lord has done for me. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. That's one. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. He's good to us. He's kind to us. And his truth endureth to all generations. Well, we hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Our time is quickly come and gone today, and we do appreciate you listening in to the Old Path, not to the Old Paths broadcast, but the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I don't do that much. It's Thousand Wonders. I don't do it more than I do, but Noah's going to come and give the contact information for us today. We appreciate him. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.